Good morning. As we get to the final perek of the Megillah, worked our way through the entire story, we're at the final perek, which is the shortest perek, the 10th perek of the Megillah, only 3 psukim, and yet perhaps has the most questions to it. We learned in the last perek of the Megillah that, number one, that Ahasuerus has placed taxes upon his entire, stretches of his countries and islands. Why do we end the perek? Why do we end the Megillah with this discussion of taxes? Why does it end here? It ends to seem very abruptly. So the first thing is about the taxes, is that if anything, the Ibn Ezra points out that this was a good thing. This was back to running the country like they should. This wasn't overly taxing. This wasn't one of those, persecution kind of taxes. This was regular taxes to run their kingdom. The kingdom wasn't run as in that kind of way. There was this party in the beginning. There was all of this, hefkeris that was going about, and now we are back to running this country in a correct fashion. Where else do we see this? In the story of Yosef. Just like we've seen so many times, there are so many parallels between Esther and between Yosef. They're both, Esther and Yosef, the stories, those two characters, they're both beautiful. They both rise to power. They're both the second in charge. They both hide their identity. So many parallels. And here is the final parallel. Why is Yosef's greatness? Because when he rises to power, he saves Mitzrayim. His economic plan saved Egypt. And some suggest that this is what Mordechai does as well, that he brings the country back to where it should be. And we end the same story, the same parallels are ended in both of these stories. We, of course, read in the last pasuk of the Megillah that Mordechai was Ratzi l'rov echav, that he was only, loved by most of the people. Number one, because you can't be loved by everyone when you're trying to do the right thing. It is not going to work. It's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us that most people mourned for him, and Aaron, everybody mourned for him, because when you are a leader and you're trying to make policies and do the right thing, you are going to upset some people no matter what, and Mordechai understands it. It could also be, as the Gemara tells us, that he took away time from his learning to go do this, to go be very involved, and perhaps there was some upsetness at Mordechai from members of the Sanhedrin. But the real question is, why do we end the Megillah this way? We don't really know much after this. So the whole story builds up, and all of these details, the party and what they had at the party and what they served at the party, and how Ahasuerus had the conversations with Haman, so many details that went into Esther's plan and the eventual downfall of Haman, and then the battles and the conversations between Mordechai, Esther, Ahasuerus, and all of a sudden, and we're done. And it ends. It ends very shockingly, very abruptly. And then everybody leaves. So what do we know at the end of the Megillah? Well, we know that Ahasuerus, as we learn after the Megillah story in history, dies shortly thereafter. But we don't know what happens to Mordechai and Esther. And it could very well be, as Dr. Erica Brown points out, that this is why we end the Megillah so quickly. Because it's not just that story, it's our story. It's going to continue to happen. Jews in exile are going to continue to happen. And we're going to have to figure out a way. And I believe that Esther has given us the strategy. The Gemara tells us that Esther says, Kavuuni ledoros, establish my story forever. And they say, oh my gosh, we can't. People are going to know all the details. She says, everybody knows already, but put it in the book. But the language of Kavuuni ledoros is strange. Esther wasn't about pride, about ego. Kavuuni, it's all about me. The reason being that Esther is saying, this is our solution. When we are stuck throughout history, this is our solution. Now, not only does it end in this way because the Jews still don't go back, they don't make Aliyah, they don't go in mass, so it's not the full holiday, right? We don't say Hallel because the Jews are still in exile, but Esther is saying, this is how we're going to do it. These two roles, the Mordechai role, the Esther role, the politics, the lobbying, the advocacy, the being involved, and the tefillah, the fasting, the introspection, the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where we started the story of the Megillah, about the Jews lacking that pride, that identity, that connection, we ended the Megillah with Kavuuni Ledoros. Mordechai is back in power. the Jews feel a sense of, they can be proud of who they are. They're Jews. They feel that connection. And that's what Esther's saying. This story will happen again. This exile will happen. This persecution will happen. There will be another Haman. There will be another Achashverosh. Don't be lulled into a sense of peace and security. But when you do, when it happens, this is how we do it. This is our solution. And with that, that's the celebration we have today of Tanis Esther. This understanding that both of these days, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out, both of these days are Purim, in a sense. The preparing for Purim, the davening, the tefillah, the fasting, and it leads us into Purim. You need both of those. You need both the Tanis Esther and the Purim to get the full appreciation of what we celebrate. Wish everybody a freilich in Purim.